I discover the practices to experience my pure self. I discover the practices to experience my pure self. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I discover the practices to experience my pure self. Now, who gives a darn? Who cares? Who cares that you discovered the practices to experience your pure self? You've known them all along. You've had them all along. You understand them all along. And have you followed them? No. Have you followed them at all? No. Do you want to follow them? No. Are you going to arrive at your purity and your perfection, your divinity? No. Will you achieve spiritual illumination? No. Will you be a spiritually illumined master? No. Why? Because you know the spiritual practices. What are you doing? Because you know the spiritual practices, but you're not practicing it. If you want to be a pianist, you practice the piano. And you play and you build up the skill. You develop the skill. And you don't go at it to be mechanical. You go at it to have magic in there. Because the great musicians, the great pianists, are ones who have magic in their fingers. And really, it's in their heads. Really, it's in their heart. And it's in their mind. And this magic comes out. Well, now, what does it be? What is it to practice our purity? What does that mean, to practice the practices to experience my pure self? What does that mean? Well, number one, if you would like to practice your pure self, you think only pure thoughts. You think only, how in the world can you ever think only pure thoughts? That's the job. That's the job. Now, remember Kate and Leopold? Do you think Leopold ever thought of not being a mannerly man, of not being a man who is a gentleman? Do you think he ever thought of not being what he was? No, he wasn't. He always was what he was, because this was born into him, this was bred into him, this was trained into him as he was a child. It can be done. It can be done. And he always was perfect in that respect. Beautiful. Now, that's just a man from learning manners and learning to be a gentleman and so forth and having good taste. And he also had a few bad habits, but those were other areas. Now, how do you learn to be a pure being? How do you learn to express your pure self? You will learn to express your pure self by having pure thoughts. Now, whenever an impure thought comes into your mind, you don't say, "Impure thought, be gone." You make its contrary. If an impure thought comes in, "Well, I don't think they're going to succeed." Now, hush you, hush, hush, hush. You don't say, "You don't think they're going to succeed." You say, "I see you successful." Now, isn't that a pure thought? I see you accomplishing that because you have the desire to accomplish it. We've been reading the story about Mr. Bowes and his life. And we've been finding out that throughout his life, he was not always successful. He was not always achieving the goals that he had, but he worked at them. He would never accept an idea that it was impossible. Perhaps the manner in which he was approaching it was not functioning, and he had to turn to another direction, but the concept of achieving it was possible, and he approved it. And he had no training in auto mechanics and in designing automobiles and so forth, but he has just designed a perfect controller which controls the tension of the car and the wheels so that it is always a smooth ride. Now, it'll change the automotive industry if they follow it, and surely they will, because it is so beautiful. Now, he never accepted the idea that there was something impossible. He said, "Hey, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Let's see it from this angle, from that angle, from every angle, and there's surely a way to go about it." Now, our pure mind, we look at it from every angle. Now, were we brought up with dumb thoughts in our mind? Were we brought up with attitudes that were not beneficial to us? Yeah. Are we sticking with those things? Yes. Yes, you are. You're sticking with those things because you think that's important. Now, I say to Ellen, do your kids need your attention and your love? And Ellen says, no, of course they don't, but she's lying. She definitely thinks they need her attention and her love. She's definitely got them in her mind and her heart and her joy, like a beautiful human being that she is. She's definitely right there being an impure person. Now, a pure person would say, I created them. They're my creation, and I release them. I see them doing every single beautiful thing that I think for them in my consciousness. I see them being successful. I see them being happy. I see them being joyous. I see, because I am successful, I am happy, and I am joyous. Now, Ellen, did you ever have a problem in your life that ever came to your attention? If you did, you weren't pure. Now, did you immediately say, oh God, what a problem, why me, oh Lord? And you know, this is what we do, don't we? Instead of saying, hey, this is, let's see, you're not being tested, you're being fortified. You're being fortified in your purity. So you turn your attention to what it is that's going to accomplish that purity. What it is that's going to bring about that purity in your life. Now, Ingeborg gets in here and she wipes this glass table that we have for our meals. And she wipes this table and she wipes this table and she wipes this table over and over and over again. And she doesn't stop to think. The rag that she's using is a dirty rag. It's a clean rag, but it's a dirty rag. It may have been through the wash, but it's a dirty rag. If she had taken one of the original rags that came out of the bag for this special cloth, what is that, fiber cloth? Yes, it would have been perfect then. But every time that cloth gets washed, soap is left in there, dirt is left in there. If you were to wash it yourself by hand immediately every time after you use it and then hang it up, it would be beautiful. But you don't do that. You just have five or six of them and then you throw them in the wash and you let the washing machine do it. And all of the things that are not beneficial to wiping glass get on there. Now, another thing. rubbing won't take away the stains that you're putting on there with the cloth. And this is something we don't pay attention to. Now, what would a perfect attitude be? What would a pure attitude be? A pure attitude would be, I look at the table, it's clean. Clean as a whistle. It's beautifully clean. It is clean. And the more I see it clean, the more it's clean. You say, well, Herb, you got to wipe it or you got to do this to it. Yes, that's true. In the beginning, you have to do that. In the beginning, you have to put gas in your car to make it run. But the day will come when you will think that in there and it's done. And you say, how did that happen? My tank just never runs dry. You know, the bishop's wife, they visited this old man and his bottle of wine never ran empty, but it was never inebriating. The wine was non-alcoholic. It was tasted like it and everything, but it was non-inebriating. He could drink it from now until kingdom come and it would never affect him. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, you say, that's just a show, that's just a story somebody wrote. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. These are the dreams. These are the wild ideas. These are the visions. Now, who could think that a man like Mr. Bose, with his background in sound and so forth like that, would come up with a device to make cars ride smoother? And that it would revolutionize, surely, the automotive industry, as it surely will. It's a simple little device, a wonderful little device that works automatically, and it maintains the car's equilibrium so that when you go over rough roads, you think you just have a slight tremor, but nothing more. It's amazing. It's amazing. Then do you know what else? If they could build a car that is soundproof, that you don't hear anything through the windows, walls, or anything, you wouldn't even hear that tremor, because it's the vibration of the wheels that comes through the car that makes you hear it, and you hear it and you think you're experiencing it. Now, have any of you ever gone to Disneyland or 20th, what's that other place? Century City, it's over there where they have another thing.
Universal City.
Universal City, right. You know, where you go through this tunnel and you think the tunnel is turning upside down and you get vertigo, you go, and you're not turning upside down, but the tunnel is turning upside down. It's whirling as you go through it. And you look at it and you think, oh my God, you know. And of course, if you close your eyes, you're untouched. But you see, it's an attitude that you have. It's an attitude of this vertical. It's an attitude that you're getting this sickness of rolling around in a circle. And it's not so. It's not so. And you're coming down on the toboggan slides, and so whee you go. And if you just relax, you flow easily with it. But the tenser you are, then you feel every little bump. But if you just relax, you don't even feel anything. You just go down the slide so beautifully and so wonderfully. And you see, what is it that causes us to feel uncomfortable in these unusual circumstances? It's our attitude. And if our attitude was, I am peace, this is going to be fun. Exhilarating, but fun. It'll get my adrenaline up, but it's fun. And it's not something that's going to be harmful. I am not afraid. I am just excited. And there's a big difference between being afraid and being excited. Being afraid is a negative attitude that goes through the body. Being excited is a positive attitude that goes through the body, the mind, and the soul. And it's a wonderful thing. But now think of that. Just think about this. Here we say, I discover the practices to experience my pure self. Okay. We here at the monastery give you 13 statements that are good for you. They're rules of conduct. And they're simple and they're wonderful. And you should follow them. We have our four statements here. Untouchable. If you're untouchable, if you're one-pointed, if you're unpossessed, if you're non-judgmental, if you're those four things, wow, you're pure. Because a pure person is not judgmental. A pure person is not possessed of anything. A pure person is one-pointed in every way. And a pure person is untouched by the world around him or her because he knows exactly what that world is like. But what do? We learn these things through self-determination, self-dedication, self-diligence, and self-discipline. That's how we learn these things. These are the very basis of the practices of accomplishing the experiences of purity in our being. The purity is there. And it's just like Roy Eugene Davis says on his little booklet here, his pamphlet, he says at the very end, when the primary error in perception of who we are is corrected, our awareness is immediately restored to its original purity. He says, we have never been separated from God. It is only the acquired habit of identifying with modified mental states and objective phenomena that causes and sustains the illusion of independent experience, separating us. When this primary error in perception is corrected, our awareness is immediately restored to our original purity. And he might have added our original purity and integrity. But you see, these are the things that make us fulfilled in every wonderful, positive way. These are the things that bring us to experience our pure self. But don't give up just because you blew it, just because you have a long road to go. Once you find yourself in just one area, just take non-judgmental. Once you find yourself able to not be judgmental about anything or anybody, then you'll not be possessed and you'll be one-pointed and you'll be untouched. You see, one area. One area moves you into that parking lot, and then you control the whole thing. Like when I was teaching Faith how to drive on an icy parking lot in Chicago, and there's a big lot with nobody on it. It was a holiday, and nobody was there. And so she had put on the brakes, and the car would slide and turn. And I said, don't be frightened. Just flow with it and get the feeling. Now, I want you to be the control. I want you to be the master. And so, little by little, she was the master, and she'd go up slowly, and the car would go ahead with her, and then she'd gently tap the brakes and slow down, and she was in charge. And by the time we got done with that afternoon of driving on that parking lot, she was a master of the car. She wasn't afraid of anything, because the car would go, and do all sorts of wonderful things. And she wasn't afraid anymore. She wasn't judgmental anymore. She was master of the car. And this is what we are. We're master of the purity in our consciousness if we will just start one place and then move on. And we'll ultimately realize that we are unconditional love as we express ourselves in this purity, because it is so grateful. I know I give Rex here a hug, and he stands there and he says, "Don't stop, you know, you're doing just great. You're doing just great." And I unconditionally love the guy, you know. And no matter what he does, he's just wonderful. And no matter what you do, you're just wonderful. And I love all of you, and I see all of you being just wonderful and being just fantastic, because that's what you are. You're great. You're super. Think about it. Think about it. You're pure, but just express it. Take a point. Be untouchable in some areas of your life, or be one-pointed in some areas of your life, or be unpossessed in some areas of your life, or be non-judgmental in some areas of your life, and watch. Everything will fall right in line with that. Because when you are any of those things, you can't be not any of the other things. Because they all are part and parcel of the same practice that you put in motion as a divine being. You let the God in you express itself. And as that happens, then I let it go. And it is done. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful evening, a wonderful life. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you. Love you. Love you.